If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Astar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny. You. Tonight our topic is Being the Beloved, and I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Astar Command. So, as a subtopic, perhaps we could say that this show is about living large and expanding awareness. So how do we begin living large on a small planet and in a global consciousness which, at best, doesn't tend to be very expanded? So our life really is measured spiritually by the radius of our expanding awareness. That actually is what defines life in the spiritual realms. Beings are called great individualities, and their aura of expanded inclusiveness is what constitutes their field of endeavor, whether they're a solar logos or a planetary logos, or a soul that is simply an initiate of the higher life. As we initiate into greater and greater expanded states of awareness, we expand that circumference until it includes more and more and more areas that we include in our aura. And that's what it means to be a master. You become responsible for more than just yourself. You begin to include others in your matrix of consciousness, and you exert a shepherding action over these souls that you are responsible for. So that's why in the order of Melchizedek that we all work through as light workers, if we're initiated and pledged to service of the Christ, we come through that office called the order of Melchizedek and that office of the Christ. And our symbol is the shepherd's crook. And that's why we shepherd souls and assist them in their return back to source. So we are building energy now tonight in the next 3 days for the powerful 888. I believe that we're going to see a powerful initiatory action take place that awakens and quickens us to our next level of Christship or Christ consciousness advancement. I want to thank all of you who've been working with me out of body. I have hardly been able to stay conscious for the last 3 days. I've been out of body and in and out of different zones as we, as a fiat, as a vanguard of light, have been going in and clearing the subconscious levels, which is the last major barrier before you break through into what's called Christ consciousness or soul consciousness. You have this realm, which is the deep subconscious and unconscious. And it's the unconscious states that come up as impulses and erratic behavior. Our news right now is full of this, where the unconscious, the collective unconscious part of us is acting out impulsively and reactively without awareness. So the antidote for any area that you're not aware in, of course, is to move your awareness into that area and look. So tonight we're going to be looking at our own collective and personal unconscious states, see if we can exert light, which will then bring them into conscious awareness. We're going to be looking at several things. So let's see, to begin with, expansion into infinite life is the whole directive of what we are moving into as a collective body of light workers, as a vanguard that is moving human consciousness itself into the new earth. The new earth is an earth based on three levels of Christ consciousness. The first one is the fifth dimension, which would be living love. The second would be sixth dimensional consciousness, which would be Christ consciousness. And the third would be those rare souls that move into the seventh level, which would be as Christs themselves. So we have these three actions going on. And I believe that during the 888, that this is our, let's say, cycle when the wind is at our back, or the wind beneath our wings, is ushering us into that next level. And for this reason, I believe that many of us are confronting things that we may want to really lay aside now and prioritize where we are putting the thrust of our spiritual force. Let me read something from a wonderful book that's just been released by my spiritual teacher, John Roger, and it's called The Rest of Your Life, Finding Repose in the Beloved. And I suggest those of you who are interested in our topic tonight that you might want to get that book. I think it's available anywhere books are sold, and definitely at msia.org. Anyway, it has to do with growing into the Beloved. How do we become more aware of the Beloved? We become more aware by growing spiritually. How do we grow spiritually? Well, physically, we grow by taking food, water, and air into our bodies. We grow emotionally when we receive love and support and encouragement, particularly when times are tough. For example, when someone says lovingly to us, "Come on, stand up, I know you can do it," and we do indeed stand up, and by doing so, we grow and mature. We grow mentally by becoming educated and incorporating that education into our personality, and by taking in information and learning and memorizing it. So it is by taking that we grow physically, emotionally, and mentally. However, it is through giving that we grow spiritually. So we give mentally by sharing what we've learned with others. We give emotionally by loving and supporting others. We give physically by being of service and helping others. And above all, we give our loving. There is something transcendental in the process of giving love. Through this giving, we grow spiritually and become aware that there is one Beloved in ourselves and in others. So, wow. We so often think of life more abundant, at least some schools of thought seem to, in terms of having more material abundance. But it's out of the abundance of the heart that the spiritual wealth of the kingdom of the higher realms is experienced. So a great way initially to create a mental picture of expanding awareness, I think we all need a visual, at least I sure do. I love this one, is to go to Google Earth and pinpoint your house, your physical address where you park your body, your hologram that you think is your body. And then from there, morph it into that expansion until you can see it vanish into what becomes then the earth, until you're way out in space and the earth is a tiny little precious blue and white marble. And then zoom back in to your place, that little tiny speck on the earth. And begin to get a perspective that even as you seemingly identify with your placer marker in time and space, i.e. your body, you also exist as the universal cosmic presence of love and life, wisdom and grace and truth, and all those things that we attribute to God. You also exist as that at the same time. and all those descension and ascension points in between, in which we step down and step up, like Jacob's ladder in the Bible. You go up and down the spectrum of awareness and consciousness expression. That full continuum is who you are as a multidimensional being. So begin to expand beyond this little teensy-weensy perspective, this mini-me, that most of us have collapsed our magnificence upon and expect it to fulfill the all in all. Rather weak pony for a knight of light like you are to ride. So lay aside the petty, selfish, and personal issues of spiritual infancy and let's mature into Christ consciousness, into Christhood. That's what this 888, I believe, is all about. I mean, I have received all sorts of transmissions, everything from astrologers to psychics to channelers to prophets to born-again Christians. All kinds of people have their spin on it. But in some communities, they believe there might even be a physical manifestation of Jesus. And that's interesting because when he made his final departure, which is referred to as the Ascension in the Bible, he was caught up, i.e. beamed up, into a cloud which spoke to him. So, you know, the apostles that were with him were aghast. It's like they were standing there staring as he went up in this cloud. And the voice from the cloud said, "Why are you standing there looking up? This same Jesus will return in the same way that you've seen him depart." So we can expect a manifestation of Jesus if, you know, we are to take the scriptures literally at this point, and we find that many portions of the scriptures are to be taken literally, although they do have multidimensional interpretive factors also. They also have a literal outpicturing. Obviously, if you read the newspaper and the Bible, you can see a direct correlation. But what if they were speaking of the Jerusalem or Ashtar Galactic Command? I mean, we're also called the Jerusalem Command, and we were the star of Bethlehem that brought the Master Sananda Kumara into his extension in his appearance as Jesus of Nazareth. So if all of that is true, we better be looking up. Who knows what we will be seeing manifesting on the horizon. And being aware that the light bodies, the Merkabas, take that form that looks very much like a spaceship. Or a cloud that looks, again, like a spaceship. So all the clouds you see in the sky, when you get that funny feeling that they may not be clouds, you're right, they're probably not. And I've already taught you how to use the hand to scan the sky so that you can discern the ships or not. So I won't repeat that, but those of you that know how to do it, you know how to scan and tell whether or not it's a ship from the Ashtar Command or whether it's just, in fact, a cloud. So we are called now to really step up to the plate. And when we speak of initiations, initiation means a greater entrance into an expanded circle of awareness. When you are initiated, that's just simply a ritual, whether it's done in the physical by someone or it's done in the inner planes, and then later anchored in the physical, which is important, so that you know it happened. It's one thing to be initiated, but quite another thing to move into and establish yourself in that level of initiation to where it becomes your new level from which you live your life. It takes quite a while to learn how to operate in each of those levels of light, because each one is different. Then you have all the light initiations, which eventually bring you to ascended mastery. And then you have the sound current initiations, which are totally different. So the light initiations have to do with your own inner realms of creation that you have spun out of your own matrix of consciousness from life to life. And then the outer initiations in the God worlds or the throne worlds or the worlds beyond creation have to do with the sound current. And that's why you need a spiritual traveler to initiate you into that, because it's very, very difficult to travel in those unconditioned realms, because there's no reference at all. How do you know where you are when there's nothing there? You have to go with a guide that can discern the very, very subtle tonalities of the divine music of God and the very, very subtle chromatic colorations that define multidimensional levels and circles of awareness. It's very subtle. There's no signs, for example, that demarcate the different worlds and the different levels and the different realms. That goes all out the door after you lay aside your metaphysical books, which have nothing to do with anything, when you get out there and you realize, whoa, it's really different. Really different, because books and all that stuff comes out of the mental realm, which is so far removed from truth that beyond a certain level there has to be a silent oral tradition. And then the highest levels, there's only silence itself, and you have to intuit everything directly. That's why some of you get kind of exasperated with me, because I'm constantly referencing you back to yourself, back to yourself, back to yourself. Because if you don't know that you know, you're going to be lost when you drop this body and you're standing in infinite space and there's no reference points. That's why it's important to know or to become connected. If you're not connected, get connected. If you're not going up with a group or a movement of souls and initiates, and you know who they are and where they're going, and have committed into that, well, you might as well be like the guy trying to fly across the Atlantic with a bunch of balloons, hot air balloons. He didn't get very far. And neither will you. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's highly improbable that you will get across that ocean to any definable point and destination if you don't have someone that has been there before walking with you or flying with you or traveling with you in spirit. So anywho, how often we meet people who say they are initiated, and yet they live like everybody else. They're focusing on the small story rather than living from the greatest story ever told, which is your story as a Christed spirit, an anointed one. And remember, the Christ is not a person nor a religion, although we seem to automatically associate the term Christ with Jesus and Christianity. But Christos is a Greek word meaning anointed, the anointed one. So you are the Christ when you live from your expanded divine awareness as living love, or what we call the beloved. I like to use the beloved, and then we dispense with all those names that cause controversy and argument in a soul that has not yet become aware that they are the beloved. So that's why there's no point in arguing with people over your spiritual realizations and your spiritual knowing, because to those that know, no explanation is necessary. They see in you where they've attained themselves. And if they're not ready for that, all the explanation in the world isn't going to do any good. They're not going to get it. Because the consciousness fits geometrically in sacred geometry very precisely into certain grid patterns. And there's no way in the world that you can jump from one grid pattern of consciousness into another without your consciousness matching that geometric formation. So even in looking at the 888, I mean, look at it. What do you have? You have, if you turn it on the side, you have the symbol for infinity. If you overlap it in the center, you have the Vesica Pisces with the little dimensional doorway where the two circles intersect and overlap in the center. You turn them to where they look like an 8, and you have the joining of above with that which flows into the joining below, seamlessly. So what is that link in the cosmos? The link in the cosmos between formless spirit and the human being, which is a hybrid of spirit and matter wedded with the Christ, which forms that 8, that point of joining. And the Christ is you as the beloved, as the uniquely and only begotten Son of God. Why so? Because God only extended love. So that's why you are the only begotten or uniquely begotten Son of God. Because that uniquely imprinted consciousness of love in every person expresses in a very specific energy signature. Now, last week we looked at yourself in terms of that whole light core of consistent resonancy, multidimensionally, that so occupies that inner sense of being that has become your overriding, overarching directive as a spirit. I said that the core of your true identity is that which winds itself around your spiritual purpose, that which feeds you and sustains you and fuels your journey in consciousness. It drives you. It becomes your very impetus of spirit. Often it is depicted in some traditions as the heart with wings or the flaming heart. I love those symbols because it's just like that. So when we live from the initiate consciousness, we are globally and universally aware to ever-expanding degrees. The personal very much has to do with what am I going to eat, where am I going to sleep, how much money can I make, what job should I take, who should I marry, you know, all that stuff. That's not initiate level. That's human level. The psychic level is seeing auras and learning power and cities and tricks, you know, of the biophysical energies. But that's not initiation. Even dogs and cats are clairvoyant. They can see spirits. Even very undeveloped people can see auras. That doesn't denote any form of spiritual development whatsoever. But what defines a truly spiritual person is that they radiate love. Wow. You just walk by them and you feel better. They seem to be like sunshine that just walks into the room and everybody's brightened and lifted and they don't have to say a word. It simply radiates from them, from their core of energy, which has become centered and integrated, and they're walking CIA agents. Centered, integrated awareness. So that's the beloved. And when you're in that state, then you can say, yeah, there's an initiate. But you know what? You don't notice the small story when you're in that state. You just don't pay any attention to it. Yeah, your body may hurt. Yeah, you may have a leg cut off, or you may be blind, or whatever. You don't pay any attention to that. It sounds crazy, but you really lose sight of all the things that most people absolutely get tunnel visioned in and spend all of their life trying to in some way get rid of it or heal it or make it better. You know what? All you have to do is return to your wholeness and everything comes with that. But in the meantime, as you walk through time and space in a world that has come under the fallen energy of death and entropy, disease and all that stuff, in the meantime, while your body walks through that, you stay in the consciousness of unalloyed bliss. You are in love. You are in Satchitananda. You are in that state of being, awareness, bliss, and you just don't sweat the small stuff. You just don't even notice it. Your mind is totally focused in a higher state of perception. And everywhere you look, you see the one beloved. In fact, you get so you bypass names and you call everybody beloved. Because the name, you know, it's your tack on yourself in time and space. Who cares what it is? It's going to change anyway. No name. I don't care what the name you put on yourself. It's big enough for you. That's why I like to call God the all that is. And that which is, and the it of itself, and the isness. How else do you define it? Because it's everything, and it's everyone. But when you're in that state of the beloved, you are in such a state of continual rapture. You're caught up in such a transcendental loving state. Oh, yeah, you do all the stuff you have to do. You raise your kids and take care of your house and you drive to work and you do your job. But you never tunnel in on that small story. You live it from the greater story, the greater power, the greater presence of the beloved that you truly are, above and beyond and eternally, from the small story of this individual tunneling in on this little time-space speck that we seem to be identified with as human beings right now. So let's do a meditation here for a moment. I hope you're in a place where you can do this without, danger to yourself. So if you're driving a car, just do it later. But right now, take a deep breath and ride the breath right down into the center of your heart and see it like a beautiful golden radiatory sun. See it as a sun-shaped heart. And as you breathe in light, superluminal light of the limitless God worlds into your heart, you exhale. And as you do, that heart keeps expanding and expanding with each breath. And you breathe in that divine light. And you breathe it down and expand as you exhale and expand your aura. And keep breathing in and expanding the circumference of that light field until you keep expanding and greater concentric circles of light. And you keep expanding. You know, first of all, you include your personal life, your body, your home, your family, your loved ones, and then your friends, and then your enemies, if you have any, and then all of humanity, and then this whole planet, and then you just keep expanding. Be out in that cosmos as just ever radiating, ever expanding, more and more inclusive life. Life more abundant. That's it. That's it. That's the infinite way into the great and greater and greater, greater, greater central sun worlds that we've spoken of. Be that sun within the sun, within the sun, within the sun, within the sun, into infinite, infinite, infinite God realms with no ending. That, beloved, is the initiatory process in which we keep expanding. And we're only defined, really, in limitation, by where we put a block. Or we just don't choose to expand anymore. But herein lies the rub. The initiation gives you a peak of vision, initially, of that expanded state. And that's your peak. And then you have to work to move into that level and inhabit it until it becomes your natural state of expression. So to move into this 888, we're going to have to get a toehold somewhere in one of these three levels. We're going to have to move into living love, being the beloved, or Christ consciousness, which is unconditional loving service, regardless of race, creed, color, situation, circumstance, or environment, 24/7, all the time. Or become a fully anointed Christ. And that probably we can't even talk about. Certainly wouldn't it be appropriate over a radio show tonight, I don't think. But somewhere we need to be able to establish a consistent tone of resonance all the time. So I think our work is pretty well cut out for us when it comes to that, because until we can love without any agenda, we're still in the human limited ego, mini-me consciousness. I like what Franz Kafka, or Kafka, had to say, again from John Rogers' book, The Rest of Your Life. You do not have to leave your room. Remain sitting at your table and listen. Do not even listen. Simply wait. Do not even wait. Be quite still and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice. It will roll in ecstasy at your feet. I think Jesus had a way of saying it like this. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. It's interesting, he didn't add an important point here, is that once you have fully entered into the fullness and the allness of the Beloved, you don't even care. You don't even think to pray for yourself. You don't even think to ask for your own healing. You don't even think to ask for anything in the material world. You so trust that all it is to meet the all that you need, whenever and wherever you are, that you have totally shifted from the law and the works of the flesh into being sourced directly as the Beloved. That's where the angels just brush the path before you, lest you dash your feet on the slightest stone. That's not to say you're not going to have trouble and travail, because Jesus also said that in this world, you're going to have persecution, and you're going to have people come against you, because the many-me's of the world feel enormously threatened when a maxi-me walks on the scene, when a Christed one walks on the scene. You know why? Because they can't manipulate a Christed one. When you live in the Beloved and you don't seek anything from your ego self, your need, your personal desire level, you cannot be manipulated, you can't be fooled, you can't be deceived, you can't be conned, you can't be robbed, they can't touch you. And the mini-me lives by control and manipulation and intimidation and all of that, and you are free. And you know what? That ego senses that. The ego also trembles because it knows that it will be utterly dissolved into nothingness in the radiatory light of the Son of God that you are. All that little petty shadow stuff vanishes and melts and only has a quasi mini life in which for a while you turn your holy gaze upon that which never was, and you identify with it, and so it's you who keep looking at it to give it life. And the minute you take your gaze away from that stuff and you focus on what you truly are, it shrivels and atrophies and is no more. I love the scene in The Wizard of Oz where I forget who it was, but somebody threw a bucket of water on the Wicked Witch, and she just goes, and she shrivels into a little pile of nothing and vanishes. Well, if you think of the Christ consciousness as the living water, when it is poured on that negative self, that false self, it is absolutely melted. It is no more. So this is the point that we are asked to make a major transition now, a major, major shifting from the way we have looked at ourselves and thought of ourselves, and to move now into a whole new way of seeing and being in the world and acting from this expanded state of awareness. If you ask, because again, this is a non-doing doing. It's a doing that's a being. And as I've said before, moving into this higher dimension, you are carried like the bride of Christ. You're being carried across the threshold. So that means that you need to ask and yield. I mean, you've already been chosen. The bridegroom has already said, will you marry me? You are my only beloved. will you dwell with me in eternity? And you say either yes or no. And of course, nobody's listening to me tonight has said no. But you may have not really, really realized what it means to be betrothed and promised to the beloved. It means that your destination has already been achieved and out of time. It means you've already arrived, because the greatest secret is that the journey has already over before it has begun. It's a journey without distance to a home that in highest truth you've never left. So you're already there. That one whom you seek is already present. And why is this a secret? Because so few claim it. So do you? You can claim it with your next breath. Take a deep breath and claim it. I am the beloved. I am the uniquely beloved of the divine bridegroom. And right now, I take the hand of my betrothed and I say, yes, 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 I will marry you. I want to spend my life in eternity with you. And you allow the bridegroom to sweep you up and carry you across the threshold into the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the beautiful celestial new version of the earth, set beautifully and refurbished lovely, a lovely, lovely becoming and beguiling style for those that are moving into that new version of the earth, pristine, perfect, beautiful, renewed, reset, a new heaven and a new earth. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And just allow yourself. And then every day ask your beloved to teach you and show you how to move in, how to make that new state of consciousness your own. None of us really know. It's uncharted territory. We really don't know what it's like to live in a place where you don't have to strive and struggle and agonize and worry and stress and strain to survive. What is it like to live in grace? My gosh, we're going to find out. But you got to let go of the struggle and surrender into the arms of the beloved. You know, at some point on your wedding night, you know, if you're virgin, you're just going to have to let go of all the covering up and just let it happen and open up and receive the total joining with the beloved. Wow. It only hurts when you constrict and contract. The more you open. You know, it's really interesting. They found that even saying, I love you, opens the cervix and the vaginal canal so a baby can be born more easily. Even in that simple metaphor of physical birth into this world. And that's why they like the husband to be up by the wife's head, even when she's having a cesarean, because that exchange of love can keep that whole process, all the muscles and everything that is involved with the process of bringing a new life into the world, are relaxed and receptive and open to the ushering forth of the fruit of that birthing process. And an exact analogy, whenever you open to love, whether it's sexually or verbally or just in your attitude, you allow something greater than yourself to use you as an instrument of the infinite and the eternal. And you open into that life more abundant that Jesus came to model for us and to lead us and shepherd us and issue us into the kingdom of the beloved. I believe that now is our time. I believe that I was called to do this show for the very purpose of announcing the good news that we are re-establishing ourselves beyond birth, beyond death, beyond becoming, beyond karma, beyond the path of return, reincarnation. I believe that many of us who have labored for centuries as light workers and light bearers and avatars and sages and rishis and those that have been the mentors of the race and the teachers in the mystery schools. I believe many of you listening to me fall into these categories. And some of you may be brand new indigo crystal rainbow children who've never been on Earth at all. Or if you have been, maybe it was back in the Golden Age, but the earlier root races, probably Atlantis, maybe Lemuria, maybe at the time of Krishna or Rama, one of the great avatars. But this is the first time you've been in such a rapid ascension. And think of this too. Back in 1987, we had the Harmonic Convergence, which was the awakening of the 144,000 rainbow dancers. And many of us started our missions at that time. I know I left my work. I was managing a product store in Insight, John Rogers Insight Transformational Seminars in Santa Monica. And I was called to full-time ministry in 1988. And here we are, 2008, and many of us are completing a commitment that has spanned this period of time. And so we're feeling very much like we're moving on to new work. Like we're in a cycle, many of us, of absolute completion. So what do you do when you finish a very, very difficult job? Well, usually you crack a bottle of bubbly and you celebrate. Although the bubbly that we're cracking is the wine of eternal life. It's the wine of the beloved. It's the wine that when you drink it, it doesn't intoxicate, but it makes you so filled with the Spirit of God that you dance for joy. You're so caught up in the Spirit that you sing and you dance and you celebrate. And so instead of working in this new paradigm, apparently, I don't know, I'm moving in with you too, apparently we're going to be doing a lot of celebration, singing and dancing and creative expression. And we don't have to, I don't think we're going to be allowed to import anything beneath the Christ consciousness grid, which I spoke about last week, which can only be used for the highest divine endeavor and expression and creative delight, where it's a win-win sharing for all. So as we move from that personal to the impersonal and the global and the universal, we begin to live for all. We begin to live for all of humanity. We begin to root for everyone. We want everyone's highest good, everyone's well-being. We don't want to see a single person left behind. That becomes our total impassioned state of love, is that we foster and care for everyone. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew, "Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was in prison and you visited me." And so forth and so on. That beautiful passage, just in that same area where he's talking in the Beatitudes, or the Beatitudes. Those states of attitude that you are in when you're in the Beloved. And so whatsoever you do to the tiniest, little, most scroungy a person that you encounter, you know, begging on the street, you're doing it to the Beloved, the one Beloved that dwells in all hearts. And that becomes your attitude, your be attitude, when you're in the state of being the Beloved. So again, I'm going to turn to another portion of John Rogers' book. And this area is entitled, "Sometimes Non-Doing is the Answer." We can be in a state of doing, or we can be in a state of being. In a state of being, we don't have to do anything. All we have to do is just be here. We're always doing something for good or for bad as a necessity of our life. And then we let these necessities become our focus. But when you live in the Beloved, being just expresses itself through you as limitless love and energy. If we can just be, and we can let that being of who we are come forward, this being will do away with all the doing that has been our compulsive and obsessive behavior. Then our being does the doing. And there is no karma, because the action is done from the state of being, not from the state of ego, or from right and wrong, or anything else like that. Your conditioned saying that you've got to be the doing something, that's your conditioned mind. But when you're sitting in the divine presence of the beloved, it all becomes very humorous because it's all spirit. The joke is your sense of separation. Laugh. It will do you good. So one of the things that keeps us very small and contracted is that list that seems to grow with every breath you take of things you think you should do, have to do, must do. As I've said before, the fourth dimension is the round toots. So every time you've said, one day, someday, wait, not now, later, though all those round toots reside in a place called the unconscious or the subconscious. And the subconscious is that little mind that rises up when you're trying to meditate and it says, yeah, but you didn't do the wash. Yeah, but you didn't mend the whatever. Yeah, but one of the ways you could handle that is to have a notepad by your meditation, wherever you sit, and write down those things. Just put them on the paper as quickly as they come to your mind until the mind is exhausted and has downloaded all of its round toots. Then you can either choose to do them, or you can take each one and say, we're not going to do this. This is complete. This is finished. And cross it off your list. That way you'll begin to clear those levels and then burn that paper. I can remember there was a training I did some years back, and it was so funny because they had us write down all the things that we had to do and walk us through every area of our life and our garage and our house and our rooms and everything until we were all incredibly stressed out at the thought of all these things we had to do. And we were really, you know, you could feel the tension in the room and everybody was getting really freaked. And we had long, long lists of all the things that we were going to have to do. And then we were asked to mill around the room and give our list to anybody at random. I don't know about anybody else, but that freaked me out even more than writing the list, because then I wouldn't remember what there was I had to do, and I'd given it to somebody and I didn't even know and probably wouldn't even meet again. And so again, the tension level raised in the room. And then finally, the person that was doing the training said, now, take that piece of paper that person gave you and tear it up into itsy-bitsy little pieces and toss it in the air and say, so what? Man, you never felt so many people step free in your life. So I often say that it's more liberating to make a list of things you do not have to do and do not choose to do and have ended cycle on the thought of doing, than it is to make all those lists of things you have to do. Because I want you to consider this. This is probably the biggest key to the whole thing, is that in the eternal now, where you're in unified field, you're one with Source, every possible option of expression in time and space has already at one time gone bloop and has been exercised in consciousness in parallel probable reality extensions of consciousness. Just meditate on it later. It'll make sense to you. So when you're sitting in the hub of soul consciousness, and I use the word hub on purpose, you can see spread out all around you all of these parallel probable reality choices. And then when you pick a timeline to incarnate on, that is to make a time lock commitment, you then have that opportunity to walk through that experience again in slow motion. Well, why would you do that? Primarily to make other choices, more excellent editing, more excellent screenwriting, more excellent acting. So it gives you a chance to perfect and to master and to really slow it down, which is what time is for, so that you can work it through. Because remember, life here is a school of mastery and a school of initiation whereby you initiate into more and more expansive states of awareness until you move into a position of being a god. Yeah, you will one day create, if you're in a certain line of expression, one day you'll create a planetary system or a universe, and you will be the Elohim behind that expression. Yeah, you don't, you know, end up on a cloud with a harp and wings when you leave this world. You go forth to eternal service in some capacity with greater and greater expansion of awareness and greater encompassment in service. So consider these things that I've shared with you this evening and begin to see where you can free up energy. You free up energy when you sit in the stillness and you observe rather than act. Always observe and meditate through an action to where you see its outcome before you make a commitment to get into it. And don't tie yourself down to things that you're going to have to fulfill by having another incarnation on Earth. If you don't want to come back here, don't make commitments to things that are going to force you to come back to complete them here. In fact, it says in the Bible, do not make a vow to either God or man, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no. So be very careful what you make a commitment to. Even something so innocent as, yeah, I'll go to the movie with you next month. Or, yeah, I'll go out to dinner with you next week. Always give yourself wiggle room by saying, right now it seems like a good idea. I will contact you a day or, you know, day before, night before, an hour before, whatever, and confirm it, you know, or God willing. You know, you always give yourself some kind of a caveat of a freedom so that you're not bound to it, because your word is law. To the universe, you are the uniquely begotten Son of God, and your word is absolute law. The angels have to obey you. Everything in the universe has to obey you. So be careful where you place your yeas and also where you place your nays. Be in embrace of acceptance of all things. But be free, because living in the beloved is living in the freedom of soul. It's living in your true essence, and that is always free. It extends freedom, and it is free, and it allows others absolute free freedom. You become such a radiation of love and peace and joy that wherever you go, you bring healing, you bring upliftment, you bring light. You become so magnetic that everything is drawn to you, children and animals especially, come and sit in your lap, because everyone wants to be in the presence of unconditional love, where they're accepted just because, not for any reason, not for any addictive demands, not for any expectations. They are just simply, totally loved just because. That is the type of love that we are moving into. That is what we are called to move into as we move into this glorious 8-8 vibration, which I believe is going to be a Christ-level initiation for all of us according to our highest level of embracement. And so it's absolutely the nature of an illumined person to shine forth like the sun, alike on all life, all people, all circumstances and situations. As the Father said to Jesus on the cross, all life is one, my beloved Son. Be alike to everyone. So you learn to be heart all over, heart space all over, walking heart space. That's the idea. That's the divine goal and objective of being the beloved and living in expanded awareness and moving into this new dimensional version of the earth. So, my beloved, keep immersing yourself in the light and the spirit and the truth of your innermost being until it fills you so totally that there's nothing left but the one and only beloved, the Christed One. And we'll go out, let's see, chanting, and I heal. Take a deep breath. And I God bless you, every one of you beloveds. God willing, see you next week. Adonai.